Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to How Very Hannah. Oh my gosh, guys, happy new year. Happy 2026. We've had a couple of weeks off and we're back and we're ready to do this. I'm going to go straight in because I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about. I'm very, very excited for today's guest. They are TikTok sensation, podcaster, many things actually. So I'm just going to let my guests do the speaking. So without further ado, let's roll the titles and then introduce the guests, okay?
Once upon a time, there was a stagey girl with a big dream. She hoped, dreamed, and prayed to work at Tesco. Wait, someone's written this script wrong. Can we get a redo?
Take two!
I dreamed a dream that one day I would hit the stage. And so it seems that dream has come true.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh my God, you guys, it's really happening. My life has been changed for the better and I'm seizing the day and spinning into the spotlight. How very slay, it's giving queen. How very
cringe,
get out my scene. It's beginner's call, the stage is set for me. How very Hannah.
How very Hannah.
How very Hannah, that's the name from a podcast show and your front row. So how very Hannah.
Hit the lights.
How very Hannah.
That's too bright. Okay, it's my podcast show. Let's go.
Oh, actually, first, before we get to the guest, make sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening. It really, really helps us out. And if you're enjoying the podcast, you can maybe rate us 5 stars, no less than 5. No, I'm kidding. 5 stars would be great. And maybe a little like and maybe a comment because it goes a long way. And that's all I'm asking for you, okay? It's all I'm asking this new year. Enjoy the episode. Please welcome to the pod, Max Belegda.
Don't know why I clapped for myself.
Round of applause.
Round of applause. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, how do you say your surname? Remind me.
Belegda.
Belegda. I said Belegda.
You really messed that up. I'm highly insulted, yes. Yeah, yeah.
This is crazy.
Think like you're at the gym and you're having a bad leg day.
Bad leg day.
That's how I explain it to people.
That's very good. I say, people call me Hannah Loather sometimes.
Oh, is that like not just because they loathe you?
Yeah, probably.
Yes, yeah.
Or they're thinking, unadulterated loathing. And I go, no, it's Lowther, like louder, but it's always not louder. It's always like Hannah, quieter.
Yeah, please.
Or like Hannah, Lowther.
Oh.
Like pump it.
Oh, black
yeah, but
peas.
Like no one says that, just me.
Yes, yeah.
Narcissist.
I gathered that.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I love everything that you've got going on here.
Thank you. A little
piece of your Jellycat collection.
It's
your mum. Yes,
collection.
I was going to say it's your mum.
She's never getting that back.
That is genuinely like one of the most incredible things that I've ever seen.
Did you say unhinged?
Obviously that as well. But every time that you post a video about it, I'm like, I'm locking in. I'm watching this in full because there's a whole new cabinet full.
It grows every week. I'm not even kidding you. I think they've got to the point now that because it's such a thing, they just keep adding and keep adding. And then every time it's a birthday or an anniversary or Christmas, more.
How many
more.
Rooms in the house are dedicated to Jellycats?
They've actually just moved house and they've got one whole room.
Wow.
And I'm like, you need to get some privacy screens on these windows. Anyone sees that, they're breaking in. They're breaking entry.
You just know that if they ever try... Also, when they sold the last house...
Yeah, on
Right
Move.
Was that picture... Oh my God, was it? Did it go viral? Because stuff... I always see stuff
didn't.
Like that.
And I got really scared because I thought, oh my gosh, if that goes viral and people recognise that
know.
From my video, yeah. they're going to know... where my parents live, which I guess doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess so.
But like, I'm just scared about things like that.
Yeah,
I just think they're going to people are going to turn up. Internet is a crazy place, as you know.
100%.
And also, you're very used to the podcast situation.
Indeed.
Me
and George have had our podcast for, I think, I can't remember if it's 3 or 4 years. And I feel like an old lady saying that. But
how
genuinely,
old are you?
I can't. I am, oh God, I always forget. No, I'm 26.
Oh, fine.
And I had a full argument with my boyfriend last weekend because I was convinced I was 25. And we had to count back in the years.
No.
And I'm 26. So that's upsetting. Fine. But yeah, no, we started it in either 2021 or 2022. And it's now 2025/6, whenever this comes out.
Yeah. Who knows?
So it was either 3 or 4 years ago. I'm verging on 3. I think I've known George for 4, and I think we started it 3 years ago.
So how did you meet, you and George?
I was about to just make up a really stupid story. Then,
I saw your eyes go.
You know Brooke Cure?
Yes.
It was her birthday party.
I was at that party. In Piccadilly, like near Covent Garden.
That's where I met you. No. I met you
didn't
at the
second one. Didn't choose to make a podcast
one.
With me, though,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, was that the year I met you?
It was like 80s themed or 70s. And we
that
had to
was
dress
the,
up.
The, yes, I remember meeting you because I met you. I met Maddie Jepson there.
Oh my God, how funny.
Who else did I meet? Well, I met George,
George.
There. Yeah. Literally,
there was loads of people there.
So many people. And I find it, Grace was there. GK was there.
Oh my God.
She was absolutely annihilated, bless her.
Classic.
I remember George. So before I met George, and I tell everyone this, George was a fan of me. As he should be.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend was a fan of George, and we were at this party, and Andrew was like, oh, that's George Clark. Like he's every time you go live on TikTok, he's always in the comments. Like he's always liking your stuff. He's always writing funny comments on your videos. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I guess I'll like say hi to him, go over. Obviously he was just his natural, like hilarious, fun self. And then after that, I signed to the same management company as him, MVE, that Joe, Sug and Casper Lee own. And George was, already there. And when I joined them, I'd already come up with the idea of the Useless Hotline, but I was going to do it by myself. And the idea would be that we were like shopping it around with a few different companies. Like one company wanted me to play a character kind of like Keith Lemon-esque, where like I'm working in this hotline and I'm getting, and I just thought, no, that's too weird. Like I just want to be myself.
Yeah.
And then I actually spoke to GK Grace
about
it. Who else is called GK? I spoke to her about like the idea of doing a podcast by myself. And at that point, she just started hers. Like she'd been doing it for a few months. And obviously, if you do a podcast by yourself, as you know, you have to try to get a guest every single time, which can prove to be quite difficult if you're doing it every single week. So she basically was like, not going to lie, it's very difficult to like, and if someone backs out, then you're screwed for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I was like, oh, maybe I should do it with someone. I got along really well with George, and I feel like when people do podcasts with someone that's like their childhood best friend, for example, it can sound kind of like you're in an echo chamber and you're not really like every topic that comes up, you just agree on it and you talk about that and then you just agree on this. Whereas me and George disagree on everything and are so like polar opposites, but we get along so well and our comedic styles work very well together. Then it's just been going from there. Weird.
We were talking about before we started filming that you were either like a Sidemen kid or a Brit Crew kid.
Yeah.
And Max said, I was just the Glee kid.
I just watched Glee.
So fair.
Literally, when I was with Joe and Casper's agency, everyone obviously there was like freaking out, like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, they're just lovely men. Like, nice to meet. I had no really concept, like idea of how famous they were like back in the day or like still now or like all the stuff that they did. And it's so impressive. Mm. Oh my God, it's so blooming impressive.
Yeah. I think like the difference between you and George is amazing because he was probably a Sidemen kid,
oh,
right?
Oh, 100%. The amount of times on our podcast when earlier days he would bring them up and I would be like, what is a Sideman? And who are these gentlemen? And he'd be saying words like, Vicstar 123, and I was like, you're gonna have to say that again, George, and stop speaking gibberish. Like, and now weirdly, I think I've met every single one of the Sidemen. I think so.
Maybe all of them.
I've not met, and I always forget his blooming name. And he's and George says he's absolutely lovely, and he's got a interesting internet name, and I forget it every single time, but I've not met him.
Is Angry Ginger Sideman?
No, he's not.
Oh.
So I know that much. He is not one of the Sidemen. He's like a person so I think what I've gathered is the Sidemen are like this umbrella company.
Right.
That like, you know, you've got KSI who kind of like is at the top, I guess. And then all of these men who make content all, like once a week and they get these like huge productions. And then they like are also almost like scouts for like young men, like prodigies that they want to like take under their wing and like grab a hold of.
You so and I haven't got that call yet, have we?
Yeah, no, I don't know what's going on there. But they'll see, like, they'll like be watching someone like a George Clark, and they'll be like, "Oh, could he be worthy of then, you know, being in our crew, yeah, sort of thing?"
And then they get him on their Netflix show.
Yes, yeah,
which they is do stuff how like I first heard about them. Really, is right. through the Netflix show, yes, which is quite confusing for people because they're like, well, how do you already not know about it? And it's like, well, because I'm not their target audience, so I don't see their content.
Yeah,
but I do watch Netflix.
And they are a huge, huge... I've always been shocked, like, whenever George does something with them, how much... Because I'll then, like, be with him somewhere, and the amount of people that come over and recognise him from being in that one video of theirs.
Yeah, that's mental.
And to me, I'm like, George has done so much outside of that. It's weird that people would only know him for that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like it's all relative, isn't it? Like, the internet is a crazy place, because you could have... you know, a million followers and then be in a room and not anyone know who you are. Like, it's not like traditional fame. It's not like...
Oh, Sidemen are coming in. Sidemen are fuming. All right, they're on their way in.
Yeah, the internet is obviously not like traditional fame, mm-hmm, because it depends who the algorithm sends to you 100%. And like who you see.
There's not one channel. Not everybody is like tuning into that same TV channel at the end of the day, and then they just get like fed this person. It's like there's like a stylized route in which people get into your brain. Like even at the TikTok awards, I noticed that some of the people that won that are absolutely massive, all the comments, who's that? Yeah. I'm like, shut up, first of all. How dare you? Second of all, like, yeah, you just don't know some people, and that's fine.
But they could be huge.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I think about this quite a lot. It's why like fame is such a weird concept, because it's like people walking around with this air that everyone knows who I am, or I'm the biggest thing since sliced bread. Mm-hmm. And it's like, actually no one in here knows who you are, so you're not famous here.
Do are you know saying what I mean? That to me?
No. No, we all know who you are. Right, Max has got a lot more followers than me.
No, I completely get what you mean. The amount of people, so I've done a lot of work in America, and the kind of like content creator influencer world is so different in America to what it is in the UK. Like my very first American brand trip, I'm saying like people will come straight up to you and go, how many followers do you have?
It's crazy.
Like that's the first thing that comes out of their mind. And then they really do believe like they are. And I'm in two minds of it, because like with the more like traditional media TV people, I do think that like those companies, like, you know, the big TV channels need to start looking at social media people. Mm-hmm. Hence why the Sidemen's Netflix show was so successful, because people do care about these people. However, I also think that the second that you believe into your own hype, and like you said, like you have like so many followers on TikTok. If you walked around being like, that many people love and adore me constantly, like every day, then of course you'd go mental and you'd become a horrible person.
Yeah.
But you have to realize, like, you know, you have to keep those real relationships around you and not let it get to your head, because that's when I've just met some awful people.
Oh yeah, trust me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you think about it, there's so many famous people in the world. Mm-hmm. Like I could walk down the street and walk past three famous people but not know who they are, because 100%. I don't watch F1 or I don't know.
What? You give me such F1 vibes.
What do you mean? Is that what they do?
I have no idea.
Not bikes. It's called
on a horse.
No.
Yay.
I don't watch F1. No, but do you know what I mean? Like my boyfriend will be like, my fiance will be like, oh, that's thingy from this football team, and he's really famous,
not got a blooming
really rich,
clue,
and he's got, and I'm like, I don't know him. It's crazy.
100% agree.
It's crazy. But who we do know are the cast of Glee.
Yes, we do.
We very much do.
So did you watch Glee growing up?
I did.
You
I was
give
a Glee
me that vibe, thank God.
Sorry,
thank God.
What?
No, I mean, yeah, me too.
Did you go to Glee Live at the O2?
So, oh, Hannah, don't. Why did you have to bring that up?
I
watched Glee with my older sister, who is 7 years older than me. Mm-hmm. At the time of Glee Live, how old are you? You're the same age
28.
As me.
28.
Old. No. No.
That's two.
You're like a year older than me then-ish.
Well, that would be two.
Well, I'm about to turn 27.
Oh, fine.
So, yeah, I'll let you off. But my sister, 7 years older than me, we watched it together. I would have been, how old were you when you went to Glee Live? It was like 2011-ish, I want to say.
Yeah, I would have been 12.
Yeah, so I would have been like 10. Maybe. So yeah. I could not of my own accord take myself to London and go to an arena. Yeah. I've never forgiven my older sister for not taking me. Because I only found out that it even happened when they released Glee the 3D concert movie, and I watched that religiously. And then
I was in that.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Are you being for real with me right now?
No.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I could have kept that going.
The way I got full body
chills. With a foam finger in the background like this.
My heart just skipped a beat. Ollie Murs, calm down. Like, genuinely, that was, that really got me.
Sorry, carry on. I just needed to make it about me for a second.
I've never forgiven her. Like, how dare you not find out that that was going on? And she actually told me, when I brought this up, probably about a year ago to her, just about how I'll never forgive her that she didn't take me. And she said, oh, do you know what the weirdest thing is? I was actually in London at that time. I was visiting my friend. And I was like, how dare you?
What a nasty piece of work.
What a horrible woman. Horrible, evil woman.
No, and the other week, I was at something, some screening or premiere, and I saw Blaine. Sorry.
Darren Criss.
Full name, Darren Criss, not Blaine.
I've seen him in concert like 3 times.
Have you?
Yes. I've made up for it. Trust me. I missed that Glee Live. I've made up for it, love. Any time that they do anything, I go and watch. That is, he is so talented.
I know. Oh. I fangirled over him so hard. And he was getting out of a taxi right in front of me. And I thought, like, is it bait if I just speak to him? Mm. Oh my gosh. We need to go back to the Pride of Britain Awards when we were walking down the carpet and mm-hmm. Shirley Ballas was in front of us. And I was like, oh my God, how do you just like start speaking to them? And Max just went, hi, Shirley, I'm Max. And I was like, that's how you do it.
I just feel like the majority of those people, if you're that famous, like if you're a Shirley Ballas and you come into, I keep accidentally calling her Shirley Bassey on my podcast, by the way. Very different women. But if you are Shirley Ballas, so you go into the Pride of Britain Awards, you're going to be fine to speak to people.
Yeah,
also, I luckily had an in. I was like, my friend George is literally on your TV show right now. Lovely woman.
Yeah.
Very iconic. Very actually intimidating, I found, speaking to her.
Yeah, she was just very composed, poised. Cool, calm and collected.
Mm, very iconic.
So were we, of course.
Of course, yeah. Not freaking out
like,
at all.
I was like stood next and watching this interaction like this. Yeah, and I was like, Max, you should get a picture.
Yeah, you did. And I loved that because I would not have even thought to do that just because I was like so overwhelmed in the conversation. And you were like, you guys need a picture. I was like, yes, Hannah,
and
that's
And then
right.
she got her ring light out. Shirley Ballas.
Iconic queen. She
was like, yeah, no worries. And then her assistant or her friend or whoever...
I think it was just like her resident homosexual that she had with her.
Yeah.
Like he was just
went
like
this,
fully
got
equipped.
Out his ring light and was like, sure. And I was like, cool, this way, guys.
So brilliant.
That's my claim
so
to fame.
Oh,
my God.
That is a great time.
Would you ever go on Strictly?
I think I would be so bad. So when George first told me that he was doing it, he told me like, I want to say like 2-3 months before it got announced. Because he was kind of like bringing it up to me in a way of, I mean, obviously we've got a podcast together. So if he takes like 3 to 4 months doing something full time, then I'm gonna have to know about it.
Yeah, it's like a work decision.
Yeah, but he was also like, I think asking like, oh, what would you think? Mm. And my first thought was like, why on earth do you want to do Strictly, George? Like that just seems like the most unaligned thing to who I know him to be ever. Like, but watching him, it's just so incredible to see how much the show really like takes care of the people in it and everybody comes along for the ride and everybody actually tries, which I think if you think about the concept of Strictly, if everyone was like in their head and like, oh, this is cringe, it would be a terrible show.
Yeah.
But the fact that everybody, everyone gets so into it that I think that's why it's so magical. So now seeing him do it, I'm like, well, clearly anything's blooming possible if he can do it. But I lack quite a bit of rhythm, personally.
I bet you don't. Did you do like theatre or do anything growing up?
So I've been, knowing obviously that I'm coming onto this podcast, I've been like really thinking about any story that I could tell you. And I went to a school in a very poor area that didn't even really have like a drama department or anything. And I didn't know anyone that did like out of school, like acting lessons. I wish that my parents shoved me into that. They tried to make me do blooming football. I did 3 sessions. They told us that we were going to be dribbling and I went to go and cry to my mum because I thought it meant like spitting on the floor. I was devastated. I was like, how can they be so uncouth, Joanne? Like, what's going on? But yeah, no, I never did anything like that except for in my school, they had a house system. Do you know like Hogwarts when you like win points for your house? We had that. And when I was in upper sixth form, I was the head of my house. Like I always took it very seriously, which is not very cool, but I loved it.
And I am a prefect.
Yeah, that was very me. I was head of Exeter House. Don't know who I'm saluting to there. And one of the main events that you could gain a big amount of house points in throughout the year was the Christmas Panto. So every year you got given a 20-minute slot. And the last day of school before Christmas was a half day. And if you were involved in the panto in any capacity, that day was spent watching every house's panto with the judges at the front and everything. Right. best day off school. Ever. Oh my God. Perfect. It was literally the best day ever. They did it in the school canteen and it was just like a thrill. So every year I was involved in it to some capacity, but this year, because I was the head of house, I was in charge of it. Well, I made myself in charge of it. And I was like, right, everyone every year does like, you know, a classic story like Jack and the Beanstalk or, you know, whatever. Mm. And I was like, we need to set ourselves apart. We need to do something different. So I went away and I wrote Harry Potter into a full Christmas musical and then cast myself as Voldemort and we won.
Claim to fame.
Blazing glory. It was incredible.
Oh my gosh. Have you got that on video somewhere?
I actually do, because I was thinking about it. And every time I speak about it, people are like, oh, we need to see some footage of this. So last night I looked onto my laptop and I actually do have a very grainy, like 2016 quality video.
Did you have to sing?
So the only songs that we wrote into it were, do you know that like viral clip from years ago where it's like Snape, Severus, Snape. So we did that, yeah. And basically all the class, so like all the like Harry Potter, Hermione and everything, I wrote it that they were trying to like introduce themselves to someone and then this person kept getting confused. I think it was Dobby, naturally. Yeah, what's he like? And then they just broke out into that song. And the entire play up until that point, so 10 minutes in, I was unbeknownst to the crowd. First of all, unbeknownst, that was a good word, thank you. I was in a box at the front as Voldemort, and then as they're all going like, Snape, and then it escalates and more people are in it, and then I burst out and I went, and I am Voldemort, thundercrack, lights went off, all the Dementors started running through the audience. So that was like my only part of a song.
So what you're telling me is you plagiarized a song that already existed.
Yep. Yes, sure. I did. Yes, I did. I absolutely did that.
But stole the show.
Absolutely, I did. Should. Yeah, and we won full house points and then won the entire thing for the year. So,
I mean, so, take it to the grave.
Do I have theatre experience? Yes, I do. Well, thank you.
What do you think made you a Gleek then? If you weren't like a theatre, because I feel like the people in my friend group that were like obsessed with theatre, we were the Gleeks. Do you know what I mean? Was there any other shows that you watched? Smash?
No, but I've constantly like seen people compare Glee and Smash and like they're like, which is better? But I'd never even heard of that.
That's crazy.
I don't even know what it is.
You're just Glee through and through.
I'm just Glee through
you
and
need
through.
To watch Smash.
Do I?
Yeah, it's
is
iconic.
It, what is it?
Have you watched Death Becomes Her?
Yes, the musical.
You know Megan
I've not
Hill-
watched the film, I've only watched the
no,
musical.
The musical.
Yes, yeah.
More Megan Hilty, who's in that.
The blonde lady.
Yes, yeah. She's one of the main parts in Smash.
Really?
Yeah, and that's
she's
how she
so
got really
good.
Big. Well, oh. One of the ways she got really big.
Yeah.
She's incredible. You need to watch Smash. It's
I do,
really
actually.
Good.
That's a really good... But yeah.
I feel like Glee is so... Like, there's so many seasons of Glee. Like, it's quite intense. The
and
thought of going back...
it got so bad towards the end.
It did get
so
quite
camp.
Kinky crazy.
Oh, it got mental. Like, the fact that Rachel's entire storyline was that, like, she would give anything to be on theatre. She wanted to be in Funny Girl. That was her be all and end all, and then she got it and then just decided, nah, I don't want this, I'll do a reality show about my life that tanked.
But and you went to see Funny Girl on Broadway, right?
Oh my God, yes,
you
I did.
You saw Lea Michele in the flesh.
Incredible.
I've never seen her.
Oh
before.
My God, I've seen her in concert, I've seen her at Funny Girl. It was just the only person who I've not seen from that cast who I would absolutely love is Amber Riley.
Oh,
I was supposed
my
to
God.
See her in Dreamgirls, and the selfish cow got pneumonia.
How dare she?
How on earth? Amber, if you're watching this, how dare you ruin my dreams like that?
How dare you not be a robot?
In it.
Seriously.
Pneumonia, smonia. I'm sorry. Is it even that serious? Don't think so. no, but then I got to see Marisha Wallace cover for her.
We love Marisha.
And obviously,
Wallace.
Me as like a 15-year-old, I'm like, you read the thing when you get in there and it says Amber Riley will not be performing today and she'll be covered by Marisha Wallace. I'm there like, who the hell is Marisha Wallace? She wasn't in Glee. Then I watch it and I'm like, that's who Marisha Wallace is. That was incredible.
Justice for the understudies.
100%. Oh my God. And I learned that lesson that day. The amount of shows that I've gone to see specific people and they get ill. I think I'm the illness. I think I'm cursed.
You're a bad,
yeah,
bad
but
omen.
You never, ever leave thinking about that. No. You go there and obviously if you book tickets specifically to see that person, then your first instinct is like, oh my God. And then you leave and you're like, oh my God, that person. Mm. And then you're a fan of somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you want to watch them in multiple musicals. Yeah. It's really exciting.
I do think it's weird as an actor, like the pressure to feel like you have to go in on days where you're sick. Like as a normal human being, I always think like if I worked in an office and I had a sore throat, I could still probably go in and do my job.
100%.
Or if I've got a bit of a tight hamstring,
yeah,
I could still probably go in and do my job. But like with theatre, No chance. It's like there's so many more reasons why you would not be able to fulfill the job.
Have you ever had like a proper illness that has taken you out for a longer period of time?
Oh yeah, I broke my elbow. I was going to say no then, so I forgot. But yeah, I broke my elbow. Oh my God, story time. I was actually walking down the Strand. Mm. I just got back from New York, was like coming back. I wasn't in the show that night.
I think I remember this. Yeah. Was this while she were doing Six?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember. I remember you posting about
this. Yeah, and I was crossing the road and some bike was on the wrong side of the road. So like I looked to my right to see, and there was no cars coming. So I crossed and this bike came from the left, like full speed, hit me. I don't remember what happened, but I basically fell, broke my elbow. Oh. And I didn't realise it was broken at the time. And it sounds weird, but I felt like, I felt like how like maybe Spider-Man would feel if he was like having one of these episodes where he was like turning into like his powers. Like, I can't explain it. Like, I felt like I was not in my own body.
Yes.
And I felt like everything was going in slow-mo and my chest was pumping. You know those scenes in movies where it's like, boom, boom. Yeah. And it's like all the noise is like creaking. And I was like walking through the alleyway to get back up to the theatre like this. And the bike stopped and was like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine, like this. Honestly, it was so weird. And also there was people waiting to go in to watch the show.
Mm.
And I had snuck out to get a coffee.
Oh,
because I wasn't on that night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I already wasn't really meant to be outside. Mm. And there was people waiting and I thought the worst thing that can happen right now is someone goes, oh, Hannah, can I get a picture? And I thought, no, this can't happen. So I ran back and then sat down, burst into tears and realised that it was broken. Was it this one? Can't remember. Yeah, it's my right one. It's like a bit of a weird elbow now.
So something that? Like that. Oh yeah, little wrinkly devil, isn't it?
It's gone all like.
Oh, it's a bit shriveled him, isn't
it's
it?
All shriveled because it's broken.
Oh, bless him. He's been through a lot.
Poor girly. I would say it's more of a she.
Oh right, okay, sorry. Yeah, yeah. She's giving she her.
Thank you.
Non-binary elbow tease.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's very interesting that you say that because I do think that people are very complaining. Like me, as a 14-year-old, my first instinct was, how dare Amber Riley have pneumonia?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That is so stupid to even have that
weird
thought process.
And then we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as well because it's like you might have people in specifically to see you, but mm-hmm. like you have to put yourself first. And also, if I was to go on and do a show that where I'm not well and I can't
could
perform to
career.
My best, that can be really detrimental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in a selfish way as well, like if you're not well, I guess it's not selfish actually, but you kind of have to think,
of course.
Like if this show is being filmed and is on the internet for the rest of time, mm-hmm. am I going to be at my best?
Do you know what? I always think about theatre people, like Maddie Jepsen, for example, like she's in Got to the Future. Back to the Future. She's in Back to the Future now and she got sick. I saw in her story, she was posting like, I'm sick and I'm so annoyed. She was out for like a week or whatever. And I think, how do you stop that? Because I just got a cough for about 3.5 weeks and I thought, naturally, as if I was ever going to be in a musical, how the hell would I do that? Like, I'd just be sacked at this point. Like, but how do you have to like have a regime where you're taking loads of vitamins? You stay, even like going on the tube, you can catch so many illnesses.
And that's
how
why
do you stop it?
You see lots of theatre people wearing masks all the time. Mm. Like if they're getting public transport, they'll be wearing masks. Mm. I've got a friend called Heba, who was one of my guests at my live show, and whenever she gets on a plane, because the air on the plane is so dry and it's so bad for your voice, she wears this, it's like something from Stranger Things, it's like this big mask, like oxygen mask thing.
Yeah.
It's not an oxygen mask, it's called a humidifier.
Oh.
And it keeps like...
Humidifier?
That's what it's called. You meant to...
Go on there.
Yeah.
Oh
it's
my
like
God.
To humidify the vocal cords, and she wears it for the whole plane, and she looks like Bane from Batman, but like it keeps her like really... moist.
That's a great idea.
And there's so much, like when you're sick, you really do have to look after yourself. And it is, I often think people think, oh, but you only start at 6 p.m. and you do a job for a couple of hours and that's it. And I'm like, no, it starts from the second you wake up.
Yeah.
You're waking up, you're drinking a liter of water to make sure you're hydrated because the first thing to get dehydrated is your vocal folds. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't even know what a vocal fold is.
Well, now you know.
Wow.
It's basically these two things in your throat that like go like this. And then when you speak, they like...
Oh.
Vibrate like this, and if they're really dry, then they're like shriveled up and they don't vibrate very well.
Like your elbow.
Like my elbow. So yeah, you have to just look after yourself.
That's
lots
mad.
Of like
that's so much pressure.
Steaming.
Yeah. Oh, I only knew what steaming was because I watched a Little Mix documentary once, and Leanne Pinnock before going on stage. All the hot water in the thing went on her legs and she couldn't perform.
Really?
Yeah, third degree burns. I'm making that up. Could have been second or first. I don't know.
But it sounds dramatic.
Severe burns, yeah.
That's crazy. I think hot steam is dangerous, but you can also use cold steam. Mm. There's all sorts of
remedies. My only
experience
of like doing shows and feeling like we did a tour for our podcast last year or the year before. I don't even remember. Was it 2023? That tour? Was it? Because it was when you just started working with me, wasn't it? 2020, whatever. It was a year. It was a year. And we were on tour for like 2.5 weeks and we were in a tour bus. And I quickly learned that I have severe travel sickness.
Oh, no.
To the point where I, one night, and there's also, I don't know, have you ever been on a tour bus?
No.
So it's not a normal experience to have. One of the main rules and only rules of a tour bus is you cannot do a poo on the tour bus.
Oh, no.
You're not allowed to do a poo on the tour bus. I was quickly and fiercely learning that
You're actually not allowed because it won't flush it's not fair on everyone else.
It won't flush and then it messes up all the plumbing. And then, so like you can do a poo in one toilet and it can float into the other and like it's, and then everything, it's not, they're not meant for that. So
okay.
Like the idea is you will do stop offs. Like you can go to the driver and say like, it's 4 a.m. and I need a poo. Like, can we go to the next like services? But usually it was like, we all wake up and we're at the venue. The venue will have showers and whatever. We can all go do whatever. And then we get back on the tour bus at night. But I was learning that I have very, very bad travel sickness. So I had to take a lot of medication because there were days when I was just like trying to get sleep and I was like close to throwing up. I couldn't sleep. And obviously when you've got a show the next day, that like our show is all improv mostly and like being funny and having a good time. So if I'm on death's door, then that's like so difficult to get through. So I was taking all the medications possible. And also we're on a tour where like maybe after a show, if it was really good, we might want to go out and celebrate a little bit, you know, have a little bit of a party. Not a great cocktail, to be honest with you. Lots of medication with alcohol, not great at all. So there was one night.
And a tour bus.
Imagine. So there's one night, we've all got back. Also to clarify, on our tour bus, there was, it was like a really cool tour bus. It had my, so I had a bedroom on my tour bus.
That's sick.
And everyone else was in bunk beds, George included, was in bunk beds. And I had a double bed with wardrobes and an ensuite bathroom and shower.
I feel like I saw a tour on your TikTok.
Yes. I want to clarify, George said that he didn't care. And I was like, I absolutely do care. I will need that space. So I took the bed. So they always make fun of me that I had the most like cushiony, beautiful experience that I could have. And basically one day it gets to about 4 a.m. I wake up. I'm like, something's going on. This is not good. I go down to the driver. I say, we need to go to the bathroom immediately. We need to pull over. He said, I've just passed a services maybe 10 seconds ago. The next one's not for half an hour. I then start
Imodium.
Panicking. Oh, that was not available to me.
Oh, no.
Sadly. I start panicking profusely, like sweating, dripping, awful. I go back up to my luscious double bedroom ensuite.
Sweet.
And I'm looking at that toilet and I'm going, we've got to, something's got to give here. Like, we've got to do this, but can I do this to my friends? At this point, they feel like my family. Do you know what I mean? So I had to do the unspeakable and poo in a plastic bag.
Oh my God, I didn't know that's where it was going. I had no idea that's where that was going.
I had
going.
To poo in a plastic bag. And then the most humiliating part of it was that we didn't stop at a services for like another hour. So then by the time we got there, I'd also had to be sick. I also felt sick. Yeah, I was like, woo-hoo! I had to double bag it. Put it in like Tesco.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in my rucksack then, because at this point, other people are waking up. So like George has woke up, Maisie's woke up, and they're like, "Oh, we're stopping at a services. I'll go to the bathroom as well." I'm like, "Guys, no, just go back to bed. Like, why do you need to?"
So sleepy.
So I'm shifty as hell. Obviously, I've got my rucksack full of poo on me. And I'm like, I'm so like panicking, like, oh my God, like how do I?
Now.
Yeah, I'm panicking. And then I go in, like, don't speak to anybody. I fling it like in the bin.
By W.H. Smith.
And at the same time, I vomited in, because I was so disgusted by everything that was happening. And I'm a very fragile person. Like, hygiene is very important to me. So to be in such a predicament was quite scarring.
Sorry. With poo in your rucksack.
Oh my God, I had to throw it away.
Yeah,
and
did
then...
you throw the rucksack as well?
No, I didn't actually. I've still got it to this day.
And it's right over there.
but yeah, no, it was trauma. So I completely relate to everything you said about, you know, about illness, taking it seriously, taking care of yourself.
And having poo in your bag.
Yep.
And I feel like you pooed in different places too in the jungle,
In
the Danny.
I did.
That was a good segue, no?
That was a really good segue, Thank you, Hannah. That was a really good segue.
From the podcast pro.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
So Max did I'm a Celebrity Australia.
Yes. And do you know what? It's still, I speak about this with Andrew all the time, my boyfriend. We'll be in the car and I'll turn to him and I'm like, I lived in a jungle for a month and we just pretend that's normal. I'm like, I feel like I should get more credit for that because like I lived in a jungle, like that's a real life jungle. And when I tell you, obviously been a fan of the UK version my entire life, when they reached out to have me on, my first thought was, is this a scam? Like what on earth? Like the Australian version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Obviously I'd never heard of it before. And then when I started to research it, I recognized certain clips from the show throughout the years because like Charlotte Crosby had done it, Joey Essex had done it. So I recognized clips and I was like, oh, I didn't even realize. It's in its, I think I was its, mine was its 11th season. So it's like one of the biggest shows out there. And they'd only recently got Robert Irwin to host it, which was like a massive, because everybody blooming loves him. And he is the best person ever. Oh my
God.
That
is such good news.
Like when I tell you like, after you just do a trial, they'd like put you somewhere and they like blindfold you so that you don't see the inner workings of everything. Because if you did, then it would take you out of the process sort of thing. And he would make sure to come over to me every time because I would be pathetic and like probably sobbing. And he would be like, you did so well. Like everybody's going to love it. Like you should be so proud of yourself. Just think about your mum watching that. And I'd be like, Robert Irwin. Oh my God.
So pure.
So pure. And he's like 5 years younger than me. I was like, oh my. He'd casually drop it. I remember when I left the show, we like did the full interview thing. Then the cameras go down. And that was like the craziest part because you've been on camera for a month and then the cameras go down, they take your mic off you and you're like,
I'm free.
Oh my God, I can say whatever I want. Like, this is crazy. So like me and him were walking down this like bridge to a car that was then going to take me to the accommodation. And we were just chatting and casual. I think he was 21 at the time of filming. And he was just, he was like, what are you going to do after this? I was like, well, I just want to go home, like see my family for a bit. Like, I don't really know what I've got planned. I'll have to speak to my manager, whatever. And I was like, what about you? He's like, oh, I'm going to stay around for a bit. Like, I think we're going to do some abseiling out of a helicopter into an area of the jungle where there's lots of crocodile eggs and make sure that they're properly dispersed around the jungle. And I was like, are you for real, Robert Irwin? Like, I'm going home. And I'm watching Glee, and you're going to be abseiling out of a helicopter to disperse crocodile eggs around the jungle. Like, what are we saying right now?
Oh my gosh, we don't deserve Robert
Irwin.
Oh,
we do not. We do not. Like, he is just, but that entire experience is just so, it's so weird
That's
to me
crazy.
That I did it. It's so strange.
It was amazing.
Oh.
I remember we had like a group chat.
I know. When I got out, I saw that you were in it and I was like, oh,
I was like, please add me. And it was like where we could watch the show because obviously in the UK, we couldn't like legally watch it unless it was clips on
socials. They would send clips to, I think they would send links over to like ways that you could watch the show in the UK or something. But oh my God, what an experience.
Oh my God.
Mental. So mental.
That's mental. So like, what was the scariest thing about it? Was it like snakes or?
Do you know what? I think I was most scared.
So scared of snakes.
I had two moments that were the most scary. First one was the night before, and I can't believe I'm talking about poo again, but here we are.
Oh my God, Max.
I got, so talking about catching things on the plane over there, which was like, they put us in like, you know, first class. It was like a really fancy thing, but you can still catch like whatever on planes.
Yeah, I need a humidifier and then you'll be fine.
A humidifier, actually. Yeah. Thank you. I had to go out there a few days before all the other cast members because they shot all their promo in Australia, obviously, but I was the only one from the UK. So I shot it in South Africa where the show was. And during that time, I got like the worst stomach bug of my life. I can't believe I'm even, I pooed the bed and it was like, and I promise you, they are my only two poo stories.
I've not, plane,
it's
sorry.
Never happened. No. In the hotel the night before going into the jungle,
oh, no.
I got so ill that the medical person, what they call doctor,
doctor,
the medic had to, they asked me, they were like, keep a tally of how many times you go to the toilet in the night so that we can assess how bad this illness is.
Oh.
36 times in one night.
Matt.
Yeah, one
not
of which
you with
was
tally
in
next
the bed.
Time.
Yeah. So I'm like, so that was the scariest for me because I knew that I was going into a jungle the day before, the
with
day
an empty
after,
stomach.
Sorry. On an empty stomach, like, I was a mess. It was a mixture of nerves about what I was about to do, excitement, and also I'd caught something horrific. And luckily the team, oh my God, the medical team, they like put me like everything that you can have in your system to like make you feel like sane and human. But that first day I had to jump off a cliff. Over crocodile and hippo infested waters. And we didn't really know, because we couldn't see from where we are, that like the harness catches you at a point where you would feel quite safe. Like, I thought that we would jump off and then like literally be like skating like centimeters above the water to
feet on the hippo's head.
Yeah, to where like a hippo could just like get up and get you. Like, so I was like hyperventilating. I passed out at the top of the cliff, naturally. You know, that's a normal human response, I'm sure. So that was the scariest for me, like knowing that this was my first like hour on the show and I'd already passed out. And I was so genuinely scared that I was like after that moment, we got to the bottom and I was like reunited with my campmates. But I was just sat there going over it in my head and I was like, oh my God, I don't think you can do this. I think you're in over your head. Like, I genuinely do not think, I think you've made a mistake. Like, you shouldn't be doing this show.
Oh my God.
And then once you get into the swing of it, it's like more, you just kind of weirdly get used to those things and you realize such a big production, nothing bad is actually going to happen to you.
Yeah, you're pretty safe.
Well, saying that actually, on my season, they had one of my campmates put his arm into a thing. Do you know when they do the things where like you put your arm and you have to reach for stuff?
When you can't see what's in there.
And
so
he had
scary
termites in it that bite you. So
they're
like fat. I didn't even know what a termite looked like, by the way. He got back to camp and he's explaining it to us and we're all like, yeah, whatever. Watched it back. I was like, oh my God, his hand afterwards, because they inject you with like a venom that numbs you so that like when they're eating their prey or whatever, it's like paralyzed. And then they bite you loads. So his hand was like filled with like venom and like bites and everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But the scariest part was the times at night for me, like sleeping or like getting ready for bed or whatever. And just being hit with the realization that you are fully in a jungle.
In an actual jungle.
Like, we had a little waterfall that we could walk to at like certain times in the day to like go and have a like play around or whatever. I don't know.
Swim.
Swim. That's the word. And on the way one day, so like on our first day there, they had this reptile specialist come and they actually showed it on the show where like they made us walk into camp and then he was like, did any of you notice that snake that you all just walked past? And I was like, what the hell? And there was a camouflage snake right next to us that is so venomous that if it bites you, then your entire body is paralyzed within 15 minutes. And we all just walked past it. So like he was teaching us how imminent the threats actually are in a jungle like this. And like you had certain rules, like you were never allowed to take your boots off if you were walking around anywhere.
Oh my God.
Because if you just stepped on a scorpion that then stings you, that can be really detrimental. Like you could lose your foot or something. So being hit with the realization of like, oh, there are actual like snakes. Sorry, I'm remembering more things
as
I go. When I got evicted, so I left the day before the final, came fourth. Thank you. Very proud of myself. God knows how. And I was evicted with somebody else. And I remember that about 2 weeks into it, because you had the interview rooms where you do like the talking head interviews. Mm. And we had two rooms in camp. And one of them randomly one day was closed. And they didn't give us an explanation. They just said, yeah, this room's closed. Like, just you'll just be doing them in this one this day. None of us took any notice of it. We were like, whatever. The woman I got evicted with, Geraldine, who was a comedian in Australia, she was in the interview room that morning and there was a snake above the camera that you like speak into.
Mm.
And she had the most like chilled reaction ever. She was like, don't want to alarm anyone, but there's a snake above the camera or something. And this snake is like eyeing her up, like
Anna
moving
Swift,
around.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So then naturally she put it around herself. She did a full Britney number.
Britney S.
And then when we got evicted, they told us that snake is called a spitting cobra. Its speciality is that it's the most venomous snake in the South African jungle. It spits venom at your eyeballs. It has perfect aim. When it does, blind. Eyes blind.
No.
Then it bites you and you're dead within 20 minutes.
What was the point of making you blind if it's going to kill you anyway? Do you know what I mean?
Like, so true.
Like, what a waste of venom.
Yeah, innit? Like, I'm sorry. That's just rude
just
at that point.
Just bite me.
Yeah.
Just take me.
So then, and
no,
then,
in my head, the thought of doing a show like this is like, yeah, I could do that. But now the more you're telling me, I'm like, I actually think I'd be a mess.
But do you know what? I say, everyone says this when I explain it to them, because obviously I'm missing out all of the heroic moments that you feel, and like, you feel such highs in there. And like,
the adrenaline must be crazy.
Oh my God, there was one day, every night we would, you know, on the UK version when they do the Dingo Dollar Challenge, like two people go off during the day. Well, the Australian version of that is the entire group every night have a little game that they play, and you can win like a bit of chocolate or something like that. And there was one, and you had to do a blow dart into a wall of balloons. And if you hit three in succession, then you won like a big Cadbury's bar. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one that actually got three in succession. Bear in mind, I'm in there with like actual Olympians, like retired sportsmen, like football players, rugby players, everything. And I'm there, I've got a tremor in my hands as well, so I shake at all times. Mm-hmm. And I somehow hit three in a row. I went to sleep that night like, oh my God. This must be what Shayna felt like when she won the Olympic gold for Australia. Like, wow. And I couldn't, that high
so
lasted for about 3 days.
That's amazing.
And now I look back and I'm like, that is ridiculous. Like, you won a bar of chocolate. But I felt so proud of myself. Like, because you're so, there's very few instances in life where you get everything stripped back.
Yeah.
Like, think about just in your daily life, how many things you contest with. Like, whether it's, oh, it's raining outside and now I've got to do this, or I've got to pick my dog up, or and then and a fiance's coming here, oh, I've got to do this for work, blah, blah, blah. To have literally to wake up and be like, got to put some beans on the fire.
Yeah.
I've got to put some rice on the fire.
Really strips it back.
And we'll wash it up. But it becomes so dull that you get so excited about everything. It's really weird.
That is so cool.
But I think that you would be amazing. Like, I say it to everyone, if I can do it, literally anyone can do it.
And I do think sometimes, like, once I've put my mind to something, it's like with Halloween horror mazes.
Yes.
I'm scared to...
Very similar.
No, but I'm scared to start with. Mm-hmm. And then I think they're just theatre kids in costumes, get over
100%.
It. And it's like, once I've got it in my head that I'm going to be okay, mm-hmm. I'm actually fine. It's 100%. So weird. I recently went to Universal in Florida and we did Halloween Horror Nights. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. But like, first one, terrified, was like screaming, shaking.
We were the same. We went
awful.
In LA recently.
And then I was like... Like, stay calm, just walk through. They're about to jump out of you there. Like, it's not real. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, it's fine. I feel jungle might be different because it is real. And there are real actual dangers that can hurt you. And these are just actual theatre kids in costumes.
But also, like, that show is so incredible. Like, when I left, so when you're in there, you are faced with no other humans than your campmates. Mm. Even like the cameramen, I believe they're told that don't even look at you, like, because they want you to be so in it that the stakes feel real. Like, if between a trial, I was like chatting with like 20 cameramen, like, oh, what do you have for breakfast? Then I'd go back to camp and be like, this actually isn't that deep, guys. Yeah. We're making a TV show.
Yeah.
But because you are so in it, like, everything feels so real. So when I got evicted, I then went from that jungle interview to a car. They then took me to the production base where there's 600 people making this show on site. 600 people. And you're meeting them and you're like, oh my God. Like, if anything did ever happen, like, say one of those cobras spat me in the eye or whatever, like, the amount of people that are on hand to make sure that you are safe, and they probably have every anti-venom, everything going to like heal you. But yeah, in the moment, it's so hard to actually contextualize things, and you just are so in it. Like,
oh,
what an experience.
Confessions of a drama queen.
I normally do a little, if we had it, we could do the, whoa, were you a Pitch Perfect kind of guy?
Absolutely.
And it's like the...
Oh, do you have one of them little things? Is it a harmonica that they use?
Or like a pitch pipe.
A pitch pipe? Is that what it's called?
Here's a thing, started a friend.
I ate my twin in the womb. And then we come with the backing vocals. Okay, we have a little listener confession here. I posted a chatty TikTok whilst getting ready at rehearsals and it's doing so well. Big slay. That was my audition, not their own. But I wouldn't judge you if you'd called yourself a slay. Anyway, I was super excited until I realised it's because I had a It's because I had a pogey the size of a raisin. Sorry. The comments are popping off. Sorry, I didn't hear you say a word. I was just staring at the bogey. And that booger's got more screen time than I ever will. Sorry, the comment section is perfect. I'm mortified. How do I start this out, or do I just delete it? Oh, do you know what? Everyone gets boogers.
Style it out.
And also, anyone commenting on your... People do that for clickbait.
100%.
People will, like, post a video and they'll purposefully, like, put a lipstick, bit of lipstick that's got on this, or put a booger mm-hmm. on their face, or, like, do something that makes people comment mm-hmm. so that the video gets more views mm-hmm. and does better and mm-hmm. essentially makes you more money if you're on the creator fund and blah, 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 blah.
100%.
So, oh, who cares?
Honestly, someone once accused me of doing that. They were really? Like, he looks this bad on purpose so that people will comment about it. And I was like, that's not true. This is how I'm dressing. This is what my hair looks like this day. Like, that's really horrible that you would think that.
Yeah.
But thank you, I guess.
Also keep commenting because yeah. it's helping my views.
Yeah, it really did wonders for the self-confidence, that one.
But I mean, being on the internet doesn't do much for our self-confidence.
Do you know what? I love it, though. I feel like, how often do you get to have a true grasp of what people think of you? You know, I've been walking down the streets for years, just assuming that people would see me smolder and mewing on the sidewalk.
What's mewing?
Oh. That, mewing. When you like suck in your double chin. You don't need to do that, Hannah. That's okay. Why. Yeah. If you don't know what mewing is, then that means that you've never needed mewing, quite frankly.
Should we do a mew off?
Yeah.
Get it? Mew off?
Oh.
Do you not? No.
No.
Okay, don't worry.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so my answer to the confession would be mm-hmm. just don't delete it.
Don't delete it, love. You are bulky girl.
I mean, the size of a raisin is big.
That's pretty big.
But that's iconic. Like, send it to Guinness World Records.
Yeah, it's a bit upsetting that you have a bulky of that stature.
Yeah, but also, how did you not see it in the edit?
Do you yeah. know what I mean? Yeah, if it is that remarkable, then maybe you need your eyes tested. And maybe theatre's not the career for you if you can't actually see. You know?
So true. But do you know what? I recently did a video where I went to see the Wicked thing at Universal Orlando. Mm-hmm. And in one of the clips, I had a booger. And it's still up on... And I edited it and everything. I was like, I've got a booger in that clip, but it's the only clip that fits in yeah. that bit. And I was mm-hmm. editing this video that was like... unlocking my Wicked era again kind of thing. And I was like, I can't believe I had a booger in that moment. My friend didn't tell me. But also, it's the only clip that works. And I was like, if anyone is watching this video and the only thing they're taking from it is the booger, then that's a them problem.
Yeah,
100%. That's not the problem.
And like you say, if it gets more views because of the bogies, bogey up.
Then big slay. Yeah. Bogeys!
Collect them and ram them up there for when you're filming. Capitalize off this. Okay, this is your moment.
Dick and Dom did.
100%. Do you know what I mean? Look at them now.
Yeah.
Smashing it somewhere. In a library somewhere, yelling. They're having a great time.
They're actually DJs now.
Are they?
Yeah, they do like... Um-ta-um-ta-um-ta-um-ta.
Really?
Bogies, bogies.
That's incredible. Do you know, I found out that Gok Wan's a DJ.
Yeah.
Seen him live, I think, 2 or 3 times now at different festivals. Brilliant time.
I love that.
Big up Gok Wan.
We love the career change. Yeah. Maybe one day.
I always, do you know the guy, did you ever watch Victorious?
Yeah.
Do you know the guy who now tours the world just like playing Disney and like Nickelodeon songs from Victorious?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
What's he called? Was he called like, oh, I can't remember what he's called in real life. Matt Bennett? Yes, yeah, yeah. He is living my dream. Like I used to be, I grew up like obsessed with Glee, High School Musical, all of that. And one time, I'm talking like in like 2020, I got asked to host a bottomless brunch and like do it all like that theme. And I couldn't do it. And I always look back on that and I'm like, that could have really led me down a very different career path.
It really could have.
But maybe a very fun one.
I hope that helps you. I think don't delete it. Keep it up.
Be yourself.
Capitalize off the bogeys.
Bogey girl.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Bogey girl. Slay. Okay, one final question for you, Max. Mm-hmm. You do lots of interviewing, red carpets, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
whatever.
Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm kidding. Incredible. Who's your favourite person that you've ever interviewed and why?
I've just started my new show, Performance Review. Plug, shameless plug.
Yeah.
And there's so many bogeys in that. Every guest, bogeys up their nose, bogeys in their eyes. No. Bogey girl, if you're out there and you want to come on, let me know.
I'm sure she would.
And my first episode of that show was with Brittany Broski. And that was just such a thrill because, that was the first episode of the show. It was very janky. It was literally in a sweaty, like, cardboard box of a room at a festival. And she was just so great to, like, go back and forth with. And I'd met her one time before that, and I was there hosting her set at Reading. But that entire, like, episode was just, like, the epitome of what I want my interviews to be. Like, silly, a little bit sarcastic, making fun of myself, making a slight bit of fun of the guest, and also just highlighting how incredible they are. So that to me is like a perfect example of like my dream interview. Mm-hmm. But in terms of celebrities that I've like interviewed on like red carpets and stuff like that, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, the best one that I think I ever did where I was literally like trembling before doing it and so confused as to why I was allowed to do it. I did a 30-minute live stream with the entire cast of Dune 2. So yeah. It was me, Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, Florence Pugh and Austin Butler, like for 30 minutes live as well. So like any awkward or weird thing that I said was just broadcast out. And it was amazing. Like, it was so great. Like, I got on, like, a house on fire with Florence Pugh, weirdly. Zendaya was just incredible. And to be, what people don't realize when they watch things like that is how many people are in the room. Even just this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've got 5 people in the room. You would never have a clue, would you? You wouldn't have a clue. So imagine.
We've got a live studio audience.
Yes, yes. Sadly, only 5 showed up.
Bring more.
This is a 200 people capacity venue. Hey guys. But imagine like how many people just Zendaya have her team that are going to be at a live stream with her. Then you've got you've got all these people. Like, I was terrified, but I always look back on moments like that and I just feel so proud of myself that I've been able to get through it and have like a positive outcome, if you know what I mean. Who else? I always say that my favorite interview of all time is when I interviewed Millie Bobby Brown the first time, which was for her film Damsel with Netflix. And I just got to interview her at the time of filming this for Stranger Things season 5. And oh my God, it was incredible. Like, I bumped into her in Soho House in Los Angeles. We'd just been to the Stranger Things season 5 premiere in LA. After it, met up with one of mine and Andrew's friends, went for a drink at the Soho House. Soho House in America is so different to the UK, really? Because it's so much harder to get a membership there. But if you have the rest of the world membership and you got it in the UK, then you're allowed in there. But like, I'm talking proper famous people. The last time I went, Justin Bieber was just there. This time, the entire cast and crew of Stranger Things walk in.
Crazy.
Like the Duffer brothers. Noah, Millie was there. I think Finn was there, who plays Mike. He was there as well. It's so, like, the majority of the cast walk in. And I'm just sat there with like an espresso martini, like, Jesus Christ, like, what's going on? And I obviously know my most famous interview that I've done was with Millie Bobby Brown. And Andrew's going, just go over to her. Just see if she'll know you. And I'm like, Andrew, I'm not doing that. And then I'd have one more drink. And I'd be like, should I go over? No, I can't. So the whole night, sat there, didn't go over because I thought it would just be weird. Like, especially if she didn't remember me, like that would be soul crushing. And I knew that I was about to do the UK like junkets and everything the week after. So I was like, I can't walk over to her and then have her remember me as like, oh, you were that guy who I didn't know. So I just left it. As they're walking out, it's like 1:30 a.m. She walks over to our table and she goes, you. She was like, the interview that we did was so amazing. It went so viral. How are you? Oh my gosh, we spoke about Nando's, didn't we? Blah, blah, blah. She was like, did you just... And I'm there like, hey, Mills, you all right, love? Like, yeah, so cool. Like, freaking out, obviously, that this incredible woman remembers me.
Oh my gosh, everybody stay calm.
Yeah, I was panicking. But that, like, will always go down as my favourite interview.
Well, there's one... And I need you to look down the barrel of the lens and issue a formal apology.
So sorry, bulky girl. I didn't
mean
it.
No. Sorry. I need you to issue a formal apology to Jamie Moscato.
Oh my God, I'm going to shoot myself. Oh my God, that is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So I need to give so much context to this situation. You've done carpets before when you're like, you know, people are like issued in, like rushed in, whatever. When you are doing it, so I was hosting the carpet for the Olivier's as the face of like TikTok's, it was like Olivier's and TikTok did a partnership and this was like their main, what's it called? Like main footage that was going to be put out on the Olivier's actual channels.
Yeah.
So because of that, I had to interview like 60 to 70 people or something like that. So I find out about it probably 2 weeks in advance and I'm researching everyone. I'm going through all the names, blah, blah, blah. But because there were so many people, I wasn't exactly at the point where I would remember someone's face and then instantly be able to remember the cards in the same way that I would with like a Stranger Things, for example.
Yeah.
I've got the list of like 70 people that I'm going to be interviewing. Also, there's so many nominees that are nominated for different musicals that are written by different people that they might want to talk about the writer, the producer. So then you have to memorize so much.
It's a lot of research.
It's a lot of research for something like this. So what my game plan was obviously do the research, write the cards and everything, but get someone to tell me when someone is about to come and go, right, just as an FYI, this is the card for like Jamie, for example. He's just done this, blah, blah, blah. Here's a brief overview and he's going to be coming in about 2 minutes. So I am interviewing Corbin Blue. So they came to me and they were like, Corbin's about to come down the carpet. Do you want to interview him? I was like, absolutely. Yes, I do. So then like, right, here's your card for Corbin Blue. Just familiarize yourself with it. He'll be coming down in like 2 minutes. So I'm reading over Corbin Blue's card and I'm like, all right, brilliant, brilliant. Yes, yes, yes. I'll ask him this. Perfect. Right. Where is he? Oh, he's right here. Come on in, Corbin Blue. And then Jamie stood with him. And
because they're doing Great Gatsby together.
Because they're doing Great Gatsby together. So I obviously know this. And I'm looking at this man and I'm going, who are you? Why do I know you? And I'm the whole time I'm like trying to compose myself going, oh my God, right. I know this man. I know this man. I know. I've seen his face. I've seen him sing. But I'm trying to also ask the questions to Corbin Blue at the same time. The woman behind the camera is obviously like freaking out slightly because she's like, oh my God, we didn't get to give you his card. So you don't have any of his questions. You don't have, you know, we didn't get to like briefly remind you of like what to ask and everything. So I'm there like trying to remember it whilst also trying to ask Corbin Blue about like The Great Gatsby and obviously High School Musical, which I'm sure he's sick of talking about. and I'm like freaking out and panicking. And I'm trying to involve him in it as much as possible. And it's just flopping. It's flopping. I've never been in a situation like this where I'm like, oh my God, I am like, somebody eat me. Somebody destroy me. Somebody punch me in the face. Like this poor man is stood there, obviously, to get questions asked to him, of which I had many. I had plentiful questions and I just couldn't in that moment. So I just had to be like, so nice to meet you, you look amazing, have a good night, like, oh. And then afterwards they were like, oh, that was Jamie Muscat, like here's the card. And I was like, are you for real? Like, did nobody think to like, but he just appeared and joined him. Nobody together. Saw him, they just appeared together. And I just, it was a technical issue that led to a soul destroying moment. So, and then I had to sit in the show and watch him do like the most incredible, I think he was in Sweeney Todd?
No, he did the Giant Comet of Natasha Pierre, I want to say. Was that this year? Something like that.
But he was singing and it was, it was incredible. And he was like, had like a main character moment. Everyone around me in the audience was like, oh my God, he's so incredible. And I was like, yes, he is.
Yeah, and he knows.
Wish I got to ask him about that.
So please apologize.
I am so sorry, Jamie. You're incredible. I had many, many questions prepared for you and like 75 other people. And it was just a technical issue that I did not have your card in my hand at that moment. And my brain went blank and Corbin Blue was there. And I just didn't get my head in the game, pun intended.
So Jamie Muscato, please drop a little comment below if you accept Max's apology or not. And I guess we'll leave it there.
And please don't hurt me.
You were meant to be mine.
Oh, God.
I'm glad we spoke about that.
Thank you. We squashed that beef.
Because also afterwards, I saw him at the after party and he was like, because I was doing some interviewing as well.
Yes.
But it wasn't it was a bit more chilled than your situation. And I spoke to Corbin and I was obviously really fangirling about that. And I saw Jamie and his agent afterwards. We were just chatting and I've met him a couple of times and he was like, oh, who's the best person that you spoke to? I was like, Corbin Blue. Obviously, I didn't realise what had happened. Like, rub salt in the wound. He was like, oh, yeah. He said, I had that walking down the red carpet. And I thought, oh God.
I'm gonna shit myself.
And then when I think you did a story about it or a TikTok about it or something.
It got somebody.
Or maybe you put it on your close friends.
No,
I don't know.
They posted the Corbin Blue video and obviously Jamie was just stood there and the comments were like, why isn't he asking Jamie any questions? So then I tried to clarify in the comments, but obviously it's so hard to explain a nuanced situation like that in a comment. So then I spoke about it on my podcast and then people clipped it and then it like became a thing. Bless him. Incredible actor.
We love Jamie Muscato.
Yeah, we do.
And on that note, I'd like to say thank you for coming on. You've been an amazing guest. What a way to kick off 2026.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you all so much for watching. Make sure to like, comment, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also watch Max's podcast.
Indeed, the Useless podcast. Hotline. Yes. The Useless Hotline we've got. And my show Performance Review on YouTube.
Do it. And follow Max everywhere, basically. Everywhere. Literally, even all the way home.
Yep. I'll send my address.
Postcode.
Bogey girl.
Bogey girl. Thank you so much for watching. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.